And they're off.
It's been another week in racing. It's time to recap it. And who better to do it than Michael and Magic? Two bros slash pros who cover the highs and lows of racing around the globe on each one of their shows. All the fans want to listen to these guys get their last thoughts, cause they know they're not talking out of their royal ascots. So enough suspense, let the fun commence. As RacingDudes.com proudly presents The Magic Mike Show, where experts take the week and recap it. The Magic Mike Show, so good that I had to rap it. The Magic Mike Show. Tune in each and every week to hear the racing experts speak.
Sheer flattery, Last Samurai, Magic Michael from the back. They approach a 16th pole. Last Samurai's got the lead. Magic Michael with one final charge. Magic Michael wins the Greenwood Cup.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is the Magic Mike Show, episode 313, Mr. Samich.
Huzzah!
Boy, what a fun way to kind of kick things off. We have Magic Michael as part of the action over at Parks, where we got a lot of races to cover. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. Yeah, it's fun to have that horse. I'm glad I used it. I didn't hit anything on Saturday because Parks went like full Parks on us, but at least I had that horse there, so that was kind of nice. And it's been a good day. It's been a good weekend of football, good weekend of horse racing. Nice to cash some tickets. Looking forward to the game tonight. Hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Yeah, so Mike, if you're new to this, Mike has been doing some sports betting tips over at racingnews.com/sports. He's been pretty hot so far to start off the football weekend, and I think he did pretty good again this weekend too, right?
Yeah, the six-pack went 4-2, third straight week. We're 4-2, and then the honorable mentions went 3-0. So nice to put up a little 7-2 week after putting up a little 10-2 week. So just got to keep it rolling. It'd be nice if we can get the over tonight. I'm just saying. I got a little exposure to that over tonight.
You said it was Philly at Dallas tonight. Dallas -3.5. What's the over-under that you need?
51.5. Looking for 52 points in that puppy. Dallas' perfect defense, bro. Keep letting everybody down. Come on.
Yeah, after Hard Knocks, I feel like everybody seems to have gotten the read on the Dallas Cowboys playbook so far, which is that there really isn't a whole lot going on. Overall, though, the weekend was great for sports, unless you're a Detroit Lions fan. I'm not saying that they should have beaten the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens should have won. Mike, I didn't appreciate the way in which we were given the loss. I fully admit we should have lost, but you should have made Baltimore take the 5-yard penalty. And then at 71 yards, he's not going to make it. So then you do a Hail Mary, and then that would have worked because it's the Detroit Lions. Then everybody would be like, oh, my God, Lamar Jackson, Ricky would have, you know, jizzed his pants. It would just would have been epic. But no, you had to do it the cheap way.
Yeah, I mean, we have different definitions of epic, apparently. But yeah, look, that was not the cheap way. I've never seen a kicker bounce it off the uprights and make it all the way back to the net. I mean, it's crazy. There's some great videos from right behind the net of the Lions fans just being totally dejected. It made for great theater, at least.
Great. I'm glad our misery can make for great theater for you, Michael.
Hey, it's okay. The Dolphins found like six ways to lose too. So, and Tua sucks. And you can tell because the market went the other way when he got hurt. Our backup comes in and we are a shorter underdog. That's not a good sign.
Oh, I'm sorry he's not doing well. I know that I remember leading up to the draft, we were both excited about you getting him. You were supposed to get Tua that year and I was supposed to get Trevor Lawrence the next year. You got what you wanted and it didn't work out well. We'll see what happens with T-Law.
I wish we got Herbert, man. Just say that.
At this point, well, look, we're going to be looking back at the weekend's action from Parks and Belmont Park. Really, we're going to be looking today at for the Breeders' Cup. We're what, 6 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup now, so you're seeing the final preparations, final starts for these horses. So Mike and I are going to pull up some betting odds that are projecting overseas right now to kind of give you an early idea for what the markets are doing. Keep in mind, this stuff isn't going to be exact. You're going to see some horses on here who have retired. They are the overseas markets. They take a long time to catch up. But that is also why we do it, and it's why Mike is a sniper at this stuff. Last year, 2 months out from the Breeders' Cup, Mike got Monomoy Girl at 2-1 to win the distaff. And he was basically saying, if she goes in, because it was a question mark at that point, if she goes, she's going to win, and I'm going to get 2-1 on her. It's worth the risk, and she wins it, I think, 1-2, and you look like a genius that day, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it doesn't work out like that, but that was a good one. It's interesting. You mentioned, like, people make fun of these because they're like, oh, that horse isn't running in that race. That's going to be overseas. You have to realize that's changing the market on every other horse, so that the retired horses, they are pushing the odds up, inflating the odds of other horses in there. Though, you know, the fact that Life is Good is in two of these right now, he's in both the Mile and the Classic, means every other horse in the Mile and the Classic has some type of inflated odds because Life is Good is taking money in both of those markets.
It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're watching along live, thanks for joining us. Submit your questions. We'll be able to answer those as we go. Mike, before we get into it, what's the best thing you saw this weekend?
This one's easy, man. I mean, it had been a while coming. We had a lackluster Saratoga meet, but man, it was fun doing the Sound Bombs this weekend. We celebrated a $1,500 pick four on Thursday on the show. That was pretty incredible. It did free articles for pick fours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. Friday, we just missed, but a couple people hit it because they added the 10 in the last. It was great to hear that. Saturday was Parks. So it was a $25 ticket. Didn't get home. Sunday, we hit for $660. But don't worry, the Sound Bombs also hits the pick five for $7,700. So that one weekend, more than made up for a lackluster Saratoga, which is the whole point of the style. It can be frustrating because it is high variance. And those big days, they pay for so much other days.
Yeah, my phone was blowing up on Sunday with I wasn't really paying much attention to the sports world. I was like, apparently Mike crushed it in horse racing and in sports betting. We talked about the football, but yeah, the Sound Bombs, seeing all the tweets. We love to see that. When you guys hit something with any of the stuff that you've used from us, whether you bought it or it was free, we love seeing that because that's why we do that. So Mike and I have been doing 313 episodes of this, is to try and not only learn as fellow handicappers, but you know, to help teach each other and make some money. That's really what we want to do this for. But when we hear that any of us were able to help you in some way, hearing about it on Twitter, we love it, because God knows we hear about it the other way.
Yeah, I posted a Heat Check Remington ticket, and of course someone comments on there, this lost. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Went 2 for 5 and picked fours this weekend for free and made $2,100 for you. Sorry this one lost.
Manu wants to know, what's the worst thing I saw this weekend other than that field goal? No, I don't really have a bad weekend. I had what we'll talk about it in a little bit. There was one race where I'm very upset about a certain ride that I got, but it wouldn't have made a difference either way. But we'll talk about that in a minute. The best thing that I saw, I'm wearing my Red Wings jersey. Training camp for the Red Wings ended. I've been following it daily. They've been streaming everything on YouTube, which has been great. All the press conferences afterwards with the players and coaches have been up there. So I've just been like, when it's not horse racing related, I've just every moment's just been like, oh, I got to gobble up more Red Wings information. So training camp ends. They're going back to Detroit. But it was a lot of fun over the weekend. Earlier today, I was watching their end of training camp game that they put on. They have a bunch of fans come in. It's free, and they pack the stadium. And it's just great for them to see the players that are probably going to be on the roster. So it was a lot of fun. I'm excited about the hockey season, if you couldn't tell. Real anxious to get going with that.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. Blues are favored tonight, -140. We won. We got the Winter Classic that we're playing this year. That's going to be up in Minnesota. So trying to get tickets to that, which would be absolutely awesome to check that game out. But yeah, really excited for hockey to start up as well.
So Blues are going to be at Minnesota for the Classic this year?
Yep. Yeah, in Target Field on January 1st.
Oh, that is awesome. I didn't go to the big game. But I went to the Red Wings Maple Leafs alumni game that they did beforehand. Since they're two original six teams, they have, 100-plus years worth of players to pick from. So they had two games. They had the old-timers game, where it's the guys that are, like, in their 50s and up that really can't hit or skate that fast. And that was fun. Guys that I got to watch, guys that, like, my dad was watching, back then. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard stories about those guys. I used to see them on TV, being interviewed like in the suits and stuff. I've never seen them play, so that was fun. But that was at the Tigers baseball stadium. They clean the ice off. They bring out like the guys that have just retired within like the last 5-10 years, and they still remember how much they hate each other, and they still have the competitive juices going. So like the first two periods, it was fine. You could tell they're having fun. They're just kind of like, little stick taps here and there, little digs. Third period comes out, and Detroit was down one, and they came out with their asses on fire, and it turned into like it could have easily just been a regular season game by the end of it. These guys are crashing into each other hard, slap shots, almost had a couple of fights. So I say all of that to say, if you get an opportunity to do that, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of amazing when you have the all-star games and then you get to the fourth quarter, right? When the juices start flowing, then you actually see these people compete. And I love it when it's old dudes, when juices start flowing. And celebrity softball games, I find wildly interesting too, just because you're just waiting for someone to just do something that they really shouldn't even be trying to do. And you see like just someone trying to go all out for home, and like one person's taking it super seriously. Everyone's just being casual about it. And you see that collision. Oh, man, sports are awesome.
Love it. Also, one word of advice. I'd already lived in California for a year or so at this point. Came back thinking, like, I think it was only a year. I was like, I haven't missed, I can still handle Michigan winters and was fine. didn't come with like fully prepared for sitting outside on the Detroit like river, basically in the outdoors for 4 hours, sitting on a metal bench. Just be prepared. Be more prepared than I was.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten to Bears games in Soldier Field. I know the pain that is those. But yeah, I mean, the last outdoor hockey game I saw was in Dodger Stadium when the Kings played the Ducks, I think it was, and I was in a T-shirt. This one, we're going to be in a different, little different clothing.
yeah, slightly. I was not much more dressed than that, actually, in that one. So, yeah, see, you're learning already. On today's show, we're going to be learning about what we think about from the racing action at Parks and Belmont Park, all the Breeders' Cup implications that come with that. And we're going to look at some odds, see if we can find some early value. Let's get into it, Mike. Riders up. First thing we're going to take a look at, let's talk about the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile Division. We had two races from this weekend that were very important. Neither of them official winning you're in, but they might as well have been. We'll take a look at Parks first, race 7. That was a Parks Dirt Mile Stakes. Mind Control re-rallies inside of Silver State. Watching it live, I thought Ricardo had stopped riding, like, a little overconfident. Then I thought maybe the horse was lugging in. Turns out, yeah, he was trying to keep him from running right into Mind Control, who gets the job done. Life is Good ends up winning the Kelso Handicap at Belmont Park. 1-9 wins like a 1-9. I was a little insulted. He only gets a 99 buyer. But the one burning question out of this, Mike, Life is Good is the clear top choice. Did you find any other underneath horses that you might have wanted to use this past weekend, maybe from the Parks Dirt Mile?
Man, I love Mind Control, first off. I think Santana kind of got a bad rap. It did look a little funky, but I think he thought that Silver State was just going to keep rolling. He seemed like he was still riding him, maybe corrected him a little bit because he was moving a little in. Mind Control just has a ton of heart, man. He came back on Silver State here and did everything he could to get that W. And if you remember the last time, Mind Control came back on Frenzy Fire. He had the lead. Frenzy Fire got by him, and then Mind Control came back on him as well. So this is starting to become a tendency for Mind Control, which is, you know, you love to see as someone who's betting these horses, is horses that want to dig in and want to get the W. As far as horses underneath, I mean, look, Silver State looked really good here when he was turning for home, and Mind Control was one of those where I wasn't sure that the mile was the right distance. I'm not sure we see Mind Control in the mile. I think we probably see Silver State in the mile. Life is Good. It's going to be ultra difficult to beat no matter how this turns out if he ends up in the mile. And I think it seems like everything is pointing that he's going to be in the mile, not in the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is where I'd rather see him. But, I think Silver State's one that you really have to respect and used underneath. When you look at, like, the possible fields, I think CZ Rocket's going to be interesting. If we see him in the mile or in the sprint, my assumption would be the mile there as well. I have a feeling this is the race that comes up the lightest, just because you're going to end up with Life is Good in here and then a lot of other rands if Life is Good does show up, because no one wants to go a mile against Life is Good right now.
Yeah. I think that Silver State, I'm giving a pass or even a plus here because he broke poorly. I think people remember the finish, right? But he was a little weird getting out of the gate, and he was last early. It's not his usual running style to be that far back. I also like, we talk about it sometimes when we review races, was there a total pace collapse? Where did the top two finishers finish? Well, they finished third and fourth. They didn't completely fall off the table. So the fact that Mind Control and Silver State, who very much the best class-wise on paper, the way they were able to come from off the pace and win like that, I think was a good sign moving forward. I'm interested. The reason I had this question here is I'm interested in Silver State a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, underneath maybe. I mean, this is one of those Breeders' BCBC races where I might play a really large exacta, Life is Good over Silver State. And we talked about overseas markets. Life is Good dropped from plus 400 to plus 175 in this race overseas over the weekend. So you're already sub 2-1 on Life is Good winning the Dirt Mile, which is crazy 6 weeks out. I mean, it's like, especially with a horse that we're not positive he's going to the Dirt Mile. Like, he may, like, there is the Classic there. I think it's going to be the Dirt Mile, but there is the Classic that is looming here as well.
Nick, a couple questions. He says, is there any talk of Flightline running in a Breeders' Cup race? From what I've heard, they're leaning Breeders' Cup sprint with him. The Malibu is also something that they have in mind. So if the Malibu is already in their mind at 7 furlongs, that tells me that they're probably leaning sprint. The way they're campaigning that horse, he must be made of like plate glass windows and duct tape. I mean, I'm so worried about that horse sometimes.
And this is the amazing thing. We just talked about, like, the overseas odds. Well, Life is Good is plus 175. Flightline's the second choice at plus 400, probably going to the sprint. Jackie's Warrior, third choice, plus 400, probably going to the sprint. Art Collector is the fifth choice, plus 550. I don't think he's going mile. Medina Spirit plus 1,000 is the sixth choice, not going mile. Like, so of the top six choices, only Life is Good and Silver State are actually offered at odds right now. So it's kind of crazy when you look at it that way. And this is, we're looking at different sites. You should definitely shop this if you're looking to bet this at all. But yeah, I mean, Life is Good at plus 175. Seems to be the clear play here if he ends up in this spot. But man, if he doesn't, and you get Silver State at 5-1, that's not so bad.
So what I've got up on the screen here, if you're watching the stream or the replay, this is from VSIN, Vegas Sports Information Network, Ron Flatter specifically. He posted this earlier today. So I'll be using these ones for the screen. Based off of these odds, a couple of things that I think are interesting. First of all, if you see Odds Checker, that's oddschecker.com. They're saying 8-1 overseas, so they haven't caught up on Life is Good. So if you have a way to try and catch Life is Good at 8-1, leave the feed, go bet your money. We'll still be here. Come back in a little bit. But yeah, that's an interesting move. Ginobili, if you're, as far as odds go, for a long shot, who I think could be really good to use is Ginobili. He's 1-2 straight going to dirt mile at Del Mar. He looked extremely impressive in those races. Extremely impressive. I'm sorry. It was a dirt mile, and then he won the Pat O'Brien Stakes, which is a 7 furlongs, but a winning you're in for the dirt mile. So anyways, I think that that's a great one at 16-1. But again, Life is Good should be the heavy favorite. If you can get 8-1 on him right now, run.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Jesus's team is the other one that I would consider using underneath. I mean, he came in underneath at a big number last time. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if he does the same thing again this year at a big number. I don't think he can win, but you know, when we're talking exotics, it's one of those I put in third or fourth in the Trier Super.
Thank you for pointing that out. I completely missed it. 14-1 on him. Speaker's Corner Horse, we'll talk about 33-1. Go find yourself. Vinny Blonde says, I hope there's a Magic Michael shout out. Vinny, stop showing up late to the video, to the shows, man. We already had it. When it's done, go back and just watch the very beginning. I put something in there. All right. So we talked about Life is Good. We talked about the dirt mile. We think we have a pretty good idea where we stand there. A race where, speaking of horses that can go F themselves, the Turf Monster Stakes. This is when we previewed the pick five. We got to this race and we thought we had it covered. Good golly, Miss Molly, did we not? Parks went full Parks here. I don't know where to start other than can we just chuck this off for every horse, pretty much?
Yeah, I love the fact that Caratari and Caraval dead heated for sixth. yeah, this was just one of those results where you're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Did I hit the all button? Nope, never getting to this horse then. I mean, highest career buyer coming into this race was 87 on the turf, and that was turf sprinting.
Years ago.
This horse had won one race in the last 10 efforts, one race in the last 2 years. Was most recently claimed for $8,000. Two back was running an $8,000 allowance. I mean, I don't know how you get to this horse without the all button. No, it is what it is. I mean, it's one of those that you just have a odd turf course and a really random result here. It's amazing when you look at what this pick five paid. Paid over $4,700, and it's chalk, 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 chalk to end it. I mean, we're talking like heavy chalk, like, you know, in the case of two of the horses, in the case of both Jackie's Warrior and Hot Rod Charlie. So just crazy that it pays out that much. Its value is huge. If you did, we're fortunate to hit the all button.
So let's talk about that real quick. So after a bunch of the scratches came out, I retooled my pick five ticket. I singled Jackie's Warrior. I singled Hot Rod Charlie. I thought if I want to keep this cheap, because it looks like it's gonna be chalky, those are the ones that like I'm gonna use these two. I know I'd gone too deep in an earlier seat. Nope, singling those two. I felt very confident about the Cotillion. We'll talk about that in a minute. I was like, one of these turf races is gonna get screwy. I thought for sure it would be the one that with the Pennsylvania Brits, because I don't follow the Pennsylvania Brits circuit. No, my top choice wins that. I should have stayed three deep. I should have gone all in this race. This would have been a great way to start. Then I would have been mad about missing the Cotillion, I guess. But, yeah, the one horse I want to take out of this, Mike, is Beer Can Man, because this turf course was disgusting. This was a trash turf course. You said it perfectly. How is it that Arlington is closing, but we're keeping Parks open when you look at how those two courses compare? Beer Can Man seemed like he was struggling a little bit, but he was also a three-year-old facing older horses in a stakes race. He was buried on the inside, which he doesn't like to do. And he ended up, like, once he got his feet rolling, he was moving, and then piece of his saddle broke. So, like, if you look, he was the last 16th of a mile, his saddle was flapping. So I like that horse. Everybody else, I'm just going to scratch off.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to fading Beer Can Man. I mean, I just think this whole race is just a scratch out. You know, Beer Can Man ends up getting a 90 buyer. 90 won't even sniff the top five in the Breeders' Cup. And so hopefully people look at this and they say, oh, complete anomaly on Hollywood Talent. I'm going to bet the second, like, I'm going to give Beer Can Man credit here. I'm the other way. I mean, I think it's, yeah, it, this wasn't an impressive race. No one fired at all. I have no interest in Beer Can Man. I haven't seen him run a winning race in the Breeders' Cup yet on his entire back class. So he's going to have to take another step forward. I'm not sure why he would.
I'm sorry. I should have clarified. For his next race, unless he goes to the Breeders' Cup. I don't want that horse in the Breeders' Cup, but I should have clarified that. Nick Feldman brings up, isn't this turf sprint this year kind of nuts? Can't tell who's good in this division. Well, let's take a look at the division here. A couple of Mike's friends in here. You got Imprimis, you got Bombard, you got Extravagant Kid, you've got Casa Creed is in here, Fast Boat, Gear Jockey, Samba Yay. Lots of horses that you like to bet in here. Mike, does anybody catch your eye? Golden Pal, the 3 or 4 to 1 favorite, it looks like.
I'd have to dig into it more. I think that this specifically this year, being at Del Mar changes things a little bit. We're going 5 on the turf, which is very different than going 5.5 and going 6, which you do at a lot of these different places. I would lean towards speed pretty heavily here because we are going 5. So I'd want to look at specifically these horses' records going 5. And I know like a lot of times Imprimis wants to go a little bit longer, not 5 furlongs, although I would be really hesitant to bet Imprimis since that surgery didn't take, and I'm not sure what we're going to do before then. I mean, Gear Jockey is one I got to get my head around. I didn't use that horse the last 2 races that he won. I was wrong both times, so I need to figure out what to do there. Fast Boat at 14-1 is the one that jumped off the page at me at first. I think that's interesting. I hate Golden Pal at 3-1. I'm not interested at all. Maybe on race day 3-1, but not 6 weeks out when a lot of things could happen. So, Fast Boat kind of jumps out at me here, but this is going to be a tough race, and I would almost wait to see the post position draw before doing anything here. Cause I like, if I like someone at 50-1, then yeah, throw a couple shekels on it, but you know, without having more information, this is a tough one to bet.
I mean, this race is so screwy. Last year you had actually Glass Slippers, his name, the last year's winner is 12-1. She came over and the one trend that we could count on in this race, you were supposed to, is that the Euros just don't traditionally win this race. And then she came over and that race was all kinds of nuts because she pinballed off a couple horses, but she gets the job done. But I think what you're bringing up, Mike, about it being at Del Mar, the turf course being different, the different layout, the shorter stretch, tighter turns, it's all going to be interesting. And it leads me to look at the horse that Aaron Hultschman, at least last week, had listed as his top pick, which is Lieutenant Dan, who's a California-bred gelding for Phil D'Amato. But that horse loves sprinting on the turf at Del Mar. I think that that's as good an angle as any as you can have at this point, this far out. But I think Golden Pal at 3-1, you don't want to take that this far out. So in an interesting field, that's definitely the case here.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Man, I think Tours for Course is going to be huge in the Del Mar turf course, especially spring.
I remember Mark Glatt had a, who was it, Blackjack Cat in the Turf Mile that back when I was still a show better, I had a bunch of money on him to show, and he got third because of the course for course angle. Of course, that's also when I was show betting, so take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the hell out of Parks here, or at least out of the way from the Turf Monster Stakes. Next race, much more interesting to talk about, at least for one horse, Jackie's Warrior. The stretch call, he was 7 lengths ahead, and he finished only 6 3/4. Mike, I think that clearly means Jackie's Warrior is going to be easy to beat at the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
This horse is phenomenal. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, like, this is one of those where they tried to go that Breeders' Cup route and probably pushed him a little too hard in the late 2-year-old season. Comes back here, just amazing animal. Like, and this is... I don't know if I can definitely like say this is a single for me, but man, I'm not sure where you go to beat Jackie's Warrior at this point. Life as good as the other sprinter that I think is elite. Yalpon's retired. I mean, it's like, okay, where are we going to head to beat this horse? It's not going to be the CZ Rockets and Flagstaffs of the world. I can tell you that much right now. So you really got to wonder like who can keep up with Jackie's Warrior because he's not stopping going 6 furlongs.
Well, let me pull up the which page did I have that on? There it is. Let's take a look at this because I think there are a couple ones, including a horse that Nick Feldman brought up, Flightline, who is trading 3-1, 4-1. Jackie's Warrior 7-2, or shoot, what is that? 9-5, 8-5, 8-5. There, Whitmore, Yopon, yeah, you can't bet them. But this is what I was talking about. You got to watch out. Bo Liam 8-1, Baby Yoda 10-1, Bella Sophia in this race. I wonder if they're doing that because if they're thinking that because she doesn't want 7 furlongs in the Philly Mare Sprint. Yeah, I'm with you. Looking at this, I don't see where you want to go. I don't see value, at least if you're trying to play far out in advance.
Yeah, I mean, like as crazy as this sounds, Lexatonian at 25-1 doesn't like. I don't hate it.
Can I get the 33-1 that's next to it? I like that one better.
But here's the thing: I think you get 25-1 on race day.
Yeah,
So, like, I don't really see the need to fire at anything this early. But yeah, this could be a lot of fun. But I look at this list. I'm not sure who beats Jackie's Warrior. I mean, the horse I think can beat Jackie's Warrior is Life is Good, who's not going to be here.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'll be curious to see who shows up for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Yopan and Max Player have been out at Santa Anita for a while. Yopan got hurt. Like, he's going to survive, but he's retired. But I remember thinking, like, they were coming out for the Awesome again in the Santa Anita Sprint, which are this weekend, the Breeders' Cup winning your ends. They're not going to be running in them. Obviously, Yopan's retired. But Aaron reminded me this is something that Steve Asmussen did with Gunrunner before the 2017 Breeders' Cup when it was at Del Mar. Brought him to Santa Anita, let him train for a while. So clearly that means that Max Player is going to win the Classic this year, right?
No.
I think that's what Aaron was trying to tell me, is that he's now going to be a Max Player homer here. Mike, let's take a look at the Cotillion Stakes. This is the race that, even if I'd hit the all button in the correct turf one, would have still knocked me out. Clairiere, you and I were against her. We thought she was a beatable favorite. Ricardo has twice laughed at us in this pick five sequence. I'm not a big Ricardo fan right now.
Look, I was against Clairiere here. I would be against Clairiere if they ran again here. No one else showed up in this spot. I mean, that to me was the big takeaway. Like, Clairiere wasn't a world beat here, ran a 93 buyer. A lot of these horses have run faster than this, and none of them did that day. And Clairiere ran her race. And, like, I think that, you know, what she needed to win was her A plus effort and everyone else to kind of run C efforts. And that's kind of what we got here. Hated a couple of the rides in here. Like, I'm not sure what the heck we were doing with Will Secret out in, like, the five path and in seventh place early. And, like, there's just some of these were head scratchers. Santana was wide in the second turn. I was surprised that Clairiere aired him the way she did at the end of this race. But really impressive takeaway is that I'm really happy she won, since I didn't have the pick five anyway. And now I can bet against her.
Yeah. Congratulations. She's been a fun filly to watch. It's one of those ones, if you owned her, you'd love it. But she hasn't won since February. So, we were trying to beat her here. Can we officially close the book on Always Karina, because she had the pace advantage, she had the fractions that should have gotten the job done, even if she's being pushed. She was hot early, very early, took us by surprise, and that's, she already flamed out.
I think she wants a one turn mile. I think you're going to see a very good, like, Belmont one turn mile type horse long term. I think that's where she fits really well. I don't think that she wants to go two turns, doesn't want to go this long. So I think she'll shorten up and kind of get that one turn mile at Belmont and be a, you know, legit horse. It's just, she's not a grade one type level horse.
Her buyers have regressed, continue to regress since her very first start. At this point, five starts in, I'm ready. I'm agree with Aaron. I think she wants an allowance race, a one turn allowance race at Belmont. And JD Fox says, if you saw the first two fractions, which are 24-4, 49-3, would have taken 2-5 on Always Karina at that point. Yep. If you knew that was going to be how it starts, you single her at that point. You're like, there's no way she loses that.
Well, and the crazy part, Obligatory, who was second, runs second. So it's not like, you know, the pace just collapsed, right?
Right.
It's, you know, she collapsed. Everyone else was fine. It was on the pace. And so it's just like, oh. And can we also, like, please, anyone watching the feed, don't bet Maracuja. Just don't. Like, that one race was a complete anomaly.
Yep.
Like, this horse is not a grade one animal.
So it sounds like we're not excited about any of these horses going towards the distaff here. Looking at this, the Truska is the favorite. There's no surprise there. 175, 187. Honestly, Mike, if that floats up a little bit, if we see something impressive over the next 2 weeks here that we have for the final distaff, winning your ends, if her odds float up a little bit to around the 2-1 range that we had with Monomoy Girl, is that another case where you're like, 2-1 on her now, if she makes it, there's no way she's 2-1 race day?
No. No, Latruska's vulnerable, man.
Okay.
She should have lost at Saratoga. If you had a couple horses that had troubled trips, or else I think they would have beaten her. I don't have the PPs in front of me, but the horse that ran second and the horse that ran fourth in that race, one of them couldn't get out. The horse that ran second couldn't get out. Horse that ran fourth was wide, crazy wide the whole turn. Now, the reason that they both would have beaten her is because Latruska had a ton of pace pressure that day. So the key is going to be how much pace pressure signs on here. What does Swiss Skydiver do? And you know, does Latruska have to work early? If she does, she's vulnerable late. And I would be trying to beat her in the multi-race bets if there is other pace pressure signed up. And I would have no interest in plus 175.
So on that note then, who do you like here price-wise? Do you see any value here?
I don't hate She Dares a level at 7-1. I think you'll get close to that on race day, though. And so, like, there's a couple of these where I'm like, look, I could see it. Horologist at 40-1 is I mean, if she's in the race, is kind of interesting because she shouldn't be 40-1 if she's in the race. Now, I'm not sure she ends up there, and I haven't heard anything about her being there. So just kind of take that one with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I mean, like, to me, you'd have to need a balloon price because I don't – you're going to get 7-1 on Swiss Skydiver, on She Dares the Devil, on Bonnie South most likely, on Clary Air. So if you like any of those horses, the odds that you're seeing here don't give you a big benefit. It'd be a horse, you know, like someone like Horologist who 40-1 probably ain't happening on race day.
So Aaron stole my Aaron stole the one that I was going to ask about. There's one person who would know to do that. That's I love you, Aaron. He says, how about the Urton horse yesterday at Remington? If you missed it, the Remington Park Oaks. Flavian Pratt flew to Remington Park Sunday night for one race. It was to ride Lady Mystify in the Remington Park Oaks. She destroyed that field. She could have won backwards on two legs. She has won at Del Mar before. She went into the Torrey Pines. She had a tough trip that day, but Florent Giroux, questions about the ride. If you scratch that off, she's improving at the right time. She has a good decent – she can stalk. She can set the pace. I think she's interesting. She's not on this page here. Do you see a Lady Mystify anywhere?
No, I've looked at a couple of places. I haven't found her. I mean, and like, look, this is the type of horse that I wouldn't be shocked if they win. Like, I think this division has the, like, we always do, like, who's the most vulnerable favorite? Mm-hmm. Right now, 6 weeks out, I think Latruska is the most vulnerable favorite that's going to be way over bet.
Oh, here's another one that's interesting. Do you reckon Blue Stripe? Yeah, nobody, I don't think anybody knows who Blue Stripe, but maybe Aaron does. Blue Stripe is a half sister to Blue Prize. She's recently shipped. She's been in Argentina. She's in California right now. You're going to see her in the Zenyatta Stakes this weekend at Santa Anita. She's a sneaky one. At 25-1, if she runs really well in the Zenyatta, you're not going to get 25-1 on her. That could be an interesting one. She's a multiple or a grade one winner in Argentina. So if she's anything like her sister who won the Breeders' Cup Distaff 2 years ago, it's a play. It's a possible.
The odds aren't out for this weekend yet, are they? No.
No, they're not.
Yeah, that would be one of those where I would wait. If you want a better, I would wait to see what the morning line odds are. And if she's like 9-5, 8-5, then you'd have to take a long, hard look at betting her early. Or you better, instead of betting her on Saturday, you bet her, or on Sunday, you bet her in the futures market. Because if she rolls, then you're getting a much better price in the futures market. But if she's like 8 or 10-1, I would just bet her in this race if you like her, and then not worry about the futures market yet.
One last note on Lady Mystify. Peter Urton, the trainer, took the Champagne winner. Champagne Room. That was the horse. Yeah. The Chandelier winner, Champagne Room, took her and won, I think, the Remington Park Oaks with that horse too. So he likes to go to Remington and be a little sneaky like that.
For Slam Dunk.
That's right. Hey, look at you. You know what's going on. Mike, we got one last division we want to talk about here. It's the one that had, boy, if this thing wasn't hot already, it just got even hotter after this weekend. Hot Rod Charlie wins the Pennsylvania Derby. He's going to the Breeders' Cup Classic, I think, with a legitimate chance. And not only do I think that, you might even have a stronger opinion. So my one burning question, can Hot Rod Charlie win the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Hell no. Hard no. Like, really hope he goes there and everyone bets him, because I cannot wait for him to run third in that race. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to run second or third in that race. Just look at this field. Who did he beat?
Midnight Bourbon.
Okay. Who's Midnight Bourbon beat? Like, nobody. Like, I'm
but
sorry.
But he finishes behind some really good horses.
And so does Hot Rod Charlie. And you know who runs in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Some really, really good horses.
Good horses. I like, and that's the thing. I respect the hell out of Hot Rod Charlie, who has overachieved from day one, running like second at 52-1, like wins, like runs huge in the Belmont. You like, this horse has run well every step of the way. Won the Travers, right? No, Essential Quality won the Travers. Never mind. But has run well every step of the way. But just when everyone shows up, he's just not the best horse. It's that simple. And that's in the three-year-old crop. We haven't even brought in the four-year-olds yet. When everyone shows up in the three-year-old crop, Hot Rod Charlie can't win. And so I don't see how he possibly wins the Classic, which is why part of me loves that he's getting all this steam, because I think this is going to be one of the most overbet horses all weekend.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's go right from there, because I don't think there's a lot to talk about from this race. I mean, Midnight Bourbon ran his race. Hot Rod Charlie did what we thought he was going to do. We went gate to wire. Sure. Let me find the Classic here. There it is. Boy.
Interesting. Yeah. Again, I don't want to. I love the story behind Hot Rod Charlie. I think Hot Rod Charlie has been an amazing horse. And like I said, it's overachieved every step of the way. Really, really cool animal. Really cool story. But if we're talking money and we're talking betting, I can't get there. And I'm glad that he's done so well for the connections and everything. But I think this is going to be a way over bet Horace Grum Breeders' Cup Day.
Well, not only is it, the connections are great, it's a bunch of kids that are younger than you and I. They're like early 20s. Which it almost is like I'm excited that youth is getting involved with horse racing. And it's a great story, like you said. It's almost a little annoying. It's like you bought one horse for 17 grand and you're winning a fucking grade one race for $1 million.
Must be nice, man. Must be nice.
Must be nice to be an O'Neill. Let's take a look here at the Breeders' Cup Classic odds. Hot Rod Charlie is right now, we'll go with the global side here, 8-1. I think that's more realistic. You have Nick's Go at 3-1. Life is Good is 6-1. If he ends up going to the Dirt Mile, which is where Todd Pletcher seems to be all but saying at this point is where they're going to go with him right now. If you take him out, I think Hot Rod Charlie dips from 8-1. Essential Quality is 4-1 over here. Tripoli, 16-1. Tis a Magician, 25. I'd put $2 on Tis a Magician, 25-1, and just put it right here next to my Mike Somich ticket. I think they'd both be worth the same at that point.
Yeah, I would bet Nick's Go at 3-1. I'm actually considering betting this right now.
Wow.
Look, the main reason Life is Good loses is if someone can go with him. I don't see anyone on this list that can go with him.
You mean Nick's Go?
Nick's Go, yeah. I don't see anyone that can go with Nick's Go. Life is Good is the only horse that can. Life is Good looks to be pointing to the mile, right?
Yep.
If no one goes with Nick's Go, if the threatening speed is Medina Spirit, who is not threatening speed to Nick's Go. Nick's Go at 3-1 is a really good price. And Nick's Go will be in that race. Like, I don't have any concerns that he's going to get hurt in the next 6 weeks. Obviously, it can happen, but it's not an injury-prone horse. Horses campaigned well, should be working, is working well right now. Clearly pointing for this race. Cox and Godolphin want this horse in this race. Like, everything says Nick's Go will be running in this race. And Nick's Go will be the controlling speed if you don't have Life is Good in this race. So you mentioned like some other odds drop. If Life is Good is out, Nick's Go should go to +125. Like, you're literally getting double the value right now on what Nick's Go would be if Life is Good ends up in the mile. So to me, that's the way to do it. And if you want to hedge it, here's what you do. You take Nick's Go at 3-1 and you take Silver State at 5-1 in the mile. Because then if Life is Good shows up here, you've got Silver State in the mile division that he should roll in.
That's a good point. Yeah. Tripoli. Let's talk about that because Tripoli is in here. He was the Pacific Classic winner. He's proven it a mile and a quarter at Del Mar. Tis a Magician, 6-25-1 right there. Tripoli at 16-1, Mike, because I don't think he's going to win the Awesome again. I think a mile and an eighth this weekend is going to be too short for him. So I don't think he's going to win. 16-1 feels closer to what he'll be at the race day, and I don't see the value betting him this far out.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, the other ones that I would like, I could make a ridiculous case for, like Rombauer. Again, I think I'm getting 16-1 on race day. So it's like, you know, Medina Spirit, you could make a case for if you think he can actually head Nick's Go, or if he draws inside of Nick's Go.
He's aiming for the Awesome again. He missed the Pennsylvania Derby for it. So if you think like I do that he's going to win that race, maybe 16-1 some value there. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, and the other one would be Idle, right? Who has won at this track. No?
No, it was at Santa Anita.
No, but I was impressed with Idol. A mile and a quarter at Santa Anita that he won, right?
Yes.
I'm thinking of the right horse. That's why I'm making sure. He was impressive in that spot and beat Maxfield. And so it's like, if you want a horse that can come from off the pace, that can make some hay, maybe Idol at 25-1 is the shot you want to take. But to me, Nick's Go at 3-1 is actually showing some value here 6 weeks out.
Nick Feldman brings up, wouldn't it be funny if Tacitus beats Nick's Go on Saturday? They're gonna be the Lucas Classic at Churchill Downs. Yeah, Tacitus is returning. If that happens, my God, Monday's gonna be a fun show. Monday's gonna be a real fun show.
I hope he wins. I hope he does, because then I might get 3-1 on race day Nick's Go.
You might actually get it. Nope, still won't get it on there. Mike, as far as things, also there was the Bourbon Derby or something at Churchill Downs. King Fury won. Mile 3/16 looked like a boss because he's the only horse to bred to go two turns in that race. Neither of us are taking anything out of that one, right?
No, probably like some of the most ridiculous comments I've ever seen on Twitter came out of that race saying King Fury would have won the Derby and blibbity blobbity blue. It's like King Fury is a marginal horse. I'm sorry, but like, no thanks. Yeah. Send him to the Classic. See if he can finish eighth or not.
All right. I'm going to tell we got some time here. Let's go look through some other Breeders' Cup divisions real quick. We'll start with the turf for the main turf. Shouldn't say for the boys. Girls won it last year. Right now, we've got domestic spending 5-1. Mishriff and Tarnawa are the co 4-1 favorites. I forget what that race was that Tarnawa just narrowly lost to, a St. Mark's Basilica, but that race was probably better than what we'll see in the Breeders' Cup turf. Worldly Goddess, you can get her in the turf. I don't know if she'll go there, but you can get her there. Any odds here that you think stick out to you, Mike?
I think that the turf races are almost unbettable because you do not know who's coming over. So, like, betting 6 weeks out is so difficult. And, like, domestic spending is the one, like, hey, I know he's going to run, but I don't know who he's going to run against. And, like, if let's say that all of these Europeans show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus, you want 5-1 on domestic spending against Snowfall, Mischief, Tanawa. No, I don't. Like, that's the thing. And so it's like if everybody shows up, these prices really, really, really get adjusted. So I don't know how you – if the only ones you could bet is a European horse who you are confident is coming over. Put it that way.
Well, and on that point, I literally, because I see the note here that Global dropped St. Mark's Basilica, and I'm like, they only
he
do
retired.
That. He did. I didn't know that. I just found that. I literally found that out. That
yeah,
sucks,
retired this
man.
Morning. But that's the point, though. Like, you just don't know with these European horses because we don't have a good enough beat in to what's going on the day to day. We have a much better idea of what's going on the American side, and we all have contacts on the American side. We might find something out before the general public does because of breaking news. We have no clue in Europe. Whenever they enter, we'll find out if they're going to enter. And so that's what makes these so hard to freaking bet.
When Simon says marginal, does he actually mean dog shit is the question?
Sometimes. you gotta be able to read between the lines.
because he's in the chat, Nick Feldman loves him some more like Goddess. And yeah, Nick, you're getting 3-1 on her here right now. Now that Santa Barbara has unfortunately been lost, Mary gone. I love that, by the way, you see Dropped by Global. They had Gouffaut at 9-2 in the Philly Mare turf. God bless these people. Any odds here that you like?
If I picked anyone to be a Daya at 6-1, she won this race last year and she's been very solid this year. And 6-1, I think, is an overlay, but I think I might get that on race day. Althika at 7-1 also doesn't look so bad either. And I would be more confident that Althika is going to end up here, right? I mean, because she's been in the States for the last two starts. So yeah. I would lean toward one of those two if I was going to bet them here. And maybe like if you have a little fun, if you could find a site that lets you parlay a couple of these. Yeah, throw it because then the race day odds aren't as important if it's a parlay. Maybe you parlay like Knicks Go with Life is Good in the Mile with Antique there or with Antica there, and all of a sudden you're staring at 3-1 times 2-1 times 6-1. I mean, you're what is that 36-1 for a pick three? I mean, that ain't bad with those three horses, and two of them should be pretty easy free squares if they end up at the races they're in.
Speaking of free squares, the Philly Mare Sprint, there are only 7 horses listed because even the overseers are going, ain't nobody fucking touching Kameen. She is -125, Global -111 odds checker. My only reason to bring it up, is there any value on Kameen, Monomoy Girl-esque, in this situation?
God.
But well, that's what, 4-5 that she's trading at there on the Global side?
I mean, what do you think she goes off race day? 2-5?
I think 3-5, yeah, 3-4-5.
Then no. I'm not willing to like. And the other problem is, and this is my own personal opinion, in horse racing, I'm looking for bigger numbers, right? I'm looking to try and hit big scores. I'm not looking to try and hit a sports bet like score, right? Where I'm playing a -120, -110, you know, +110, whatever it is. And the amount of money I would need to win what I try and win at horse racing to bet on Kameen would make me very sad if I lost. So -120 doesn't make me all that excited, especially since like, look, we talked about Monomoy Girl last year, right? 2-1 to 1-2 is a 4X, a 400% advantage, right? And we're talking, we might get a 25% advantage, 20 cents advantage here. That's not worth it. I mean, you know, you gotta be able to have more upside if you're going to play a number like that.
Last one to talk about, the juvenile fillies here. The one that sticks out to me, Corniche. That's that Bob Baffert $1.5 million horse that completely aired. Just a maiden winner, but we've got the American Faro Stakes coming up this Friday. This horse is pointing for it. He's going to be a short price favorite. 8-1, 10-1. I think this is the one that it really caught my attention. I really want to play this horse at that price.
I think it's a good price, too. I like, this is one of those where like, you know, Gunnett, Witt, I think that this is Major General. All they're chinks in the armor. Like I think that you can definitely beat those horses and you know, Corniche at 8-1, especially after airing this weekend, it'll probably be 4-1. I think is a worthwhile play.
Forbidden Kingdom at 20-1. He was another impressive Del Mar Maiden debut winner. I think he's going to the American Pharoah as well. I'd watch out for him too. That 20-1, that's a pretty juicy price. It's a Mandela horse. Is he going to be able to beat Corniche by the time they both hit their third starts? Corniche looked great. But that's another value I want to talk about there as well. Phillies wise, anything there? No, that's a pretty small list. And yeah, I don't think I want to touch seven horses there.
Yeah, no, and I think that Feldman brings up a good point here. I mean, there's so much money on bet on BC Day that even a free square like Gamine isn't a big deal. I totally agree. I had Monomoy Girl singled in the pick six, and I was alive to $33,000 last year. There are big fields with big upsets, and you can get these short price horses home and still be alive to some huge scores. I mean, even the $7,700 pick five I hit on Saturday or Sunday was a 2-5 shot in a four horse field. I mean, as long as the fields are big around them and you're getting prices, which are things you always get on Breeders' Cup Day, taking a free square is never a bad thing.
Yeah. Some of our listeners won. They hit because they went all in the mile and they singled Monomoy Girl, right? So Monomoy Girl, there you go. You talk about 1-2. There's the value. It's not bad there. You single her in the right spot.
It allows you to spread to other places. I mean, because if you go, we talk about this all the time, man. If you're using 6 of 12 and you hit the all button, that doubles the ticket cost. If you're using 1 and you go to 2, it doubles the ticket cost. So it's the exact same. And so if you're able to find 1 or 2 singles like that, man, it's how you make some money. I mean, I know people who did really well because they like Monomoy Girl and they liked Tanawa. They singled them both, and that gave you a ton of coverage in the other spots.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show. Thanks for joining Mike and I to go through our thoughts on the Breeders' Cup races as we're about 6 weeks out here. A reminder at racenews.com, if you sign up for any of the premium product 30-day subscriptions or above, including possibly the Salmo Bombs or the Ricky's Rockets, you're going to get every wagering guide for free included. And that also means the Breeders' Cup Inside Track Wagering Guide, which is one of the biggest ones we do of the year, this and the Kentucky Derby, the two biggest things we put our hearts and souls into. So make sure you go check that out. Mike, we're going to end things here for the horse racing thing, other than to say come back on Thursday at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. We're going to go to Santa Anita. They got a bunch of Breeders' Cup winning urine races.
Yeah, we'll throw you a bone.
Yay! I get one. So we'll be back here for that one. Santa Anita late pick 4 for Saturday. Mike, let's talk a little bit about some football before we get out of here. Monday Night Football, we talked about Dallas -3.5 hosting Philly. What do you think about that one?
Yeah. So look, if you look at last week's game, San Diego and Dallas ended up going under, right? And they I think it was like 17-14 final, something crazy like that. There's one punt in that game. Don't be fooled by this. This Dallas defense is not good. They're not good. And you have one of the best defensive linemen, defensive rushers, who's out for Philadelphia. Dallas should be able to move the ball up and down the field. Philly should be able to move the ball up and down the field. I'm trying to close a 17 parlay with the over here at 51.5. I like the over the most, 51.5. If I picked a side, I would be on Philadelphia +3.5. I don't hate Philadelphia money line in the over. Nice little pop if you want like 4-1 or so. I think that's what you get on those two. So, to me, I think we should expect some points. I think it should be pretty explosive here. And both these defenses aren't great. And the other thing that I think is key here is Philly stops the run pretty well. And that means that you're going to see Dallas be forced to pass. And I think that's going to create higher scoring games as well. We saw the week one, Dallas played Tampa, and Tampa is very good against the run. They only called 14 run plays the whole game. I think you're going to see a similar game script from Dallas, which is going to force this total over.
Why would they do that? Zeke, this is how little I follow. Is Zeke hurt? Why are you running 14 plays run plays with Zeke under?
Because Tampa Bay's rush defense was number one in the NFL last year, and they got Vita Vea back in the first week. And so when they looked at it and they said, okay, Tampa has a weaker secondary and a strong run defense, we're gonna go to the air. And that's kind of similar to what you're seeing from Philly. Their strength is definitely their front seven on defense, not their back four. And when we spread them out, especially, which is something that the Cowboys can do with these explosive wide receiver core, it's clearly where the advantage is. And it's amazing because they talked after the game. Dak checked out of a ton of runs too because they had safeties down in the box. It's, again, similar to Philly with an aggressive blitz style. So I think you're just going to see a ton of passes here.
Over here at racenews.com on the sports section, racenews.com/sports, you've got Papa Dude Mike Halterman with his full free analysis and the picks. He says Dallas -3.5 all day long. Listen, I don't think Mike Somich cares that much who gets the over or who gets the line there as long as it goes over 51.5. But at racenews.com/sports, we have you covered with all sorts of information on college football and the NFL. Papa Dude Mike Halterman is a former football coach for, God, I think 30 plus years. He's a teacher as well. well. The man knows what he's talking about when it comes to this stuff. You can check that out, just how much he knows, on the Dudes Who Bet Sports podcast and live stream that is happening every Mondays and Thursdays on the Racing Dudes YouTube channel. So make sure you go to the Racing Dudes YouTube channel, subscribe, hit the notification bell. You'll get alerted whenever any of us are going live with our shows on the RacingDudes.com network. Mr. Samich, we had one last question here from JD. He wants to know how good you are with mutters at Hastings because it's pouring in the rain there and there's a pick five carryover.
Yeah, I'm probably going to play a ticket into it, but I haven't looked at it yet. I knew it was supposed to rain there, and so I'm like, I'll just wait for the scratches and then put something together quick. I mean, it's going to be, like I was joking with Geis, this is going to be like Fauna Park North, right? Like, is this like $4,000 claimers, and these aren't great horses. So I won't put a huge ticket together, but, you know, if you tell me there's a $500,000 carryover and there's going to be $3 million in the pool, and we all know I'm betting it, so, I'll throw something together for it and see if we can we can hit another one.
One of my pledge brothers in my fraternity is a big follower of our show, and he tell me he likes to bet those. He calls them nags at Hastings on Mondays. He loves it. He loves betting those horses. I don't think he's ever hit some. Well, no, he has hit a couple things. Nothing for very big, but I wonder if he's going for that pick five because it's a mandatory payout. So, good
Where's
luck.
Where's his ticket, man? We got a Hastings insider, and we're not getting his ticket up here?
I know. I should text him, ask him what he thinks about it.
it is worthwhile. For everyone watching this, and you're bored on a Monday night, or do you want to watch? It starts at 8 o'clock, which is, you know, still an hour and a half from now. Football game starts at 8:20, so nice little, you know, flip back and forth. It's going to be $3 million in that pool. It's 15% takeout. It should be a four. It might even be a 20-cent base, too, because a lot of those Canadian tracks are 20-cent base. I can check real quick. I think it's definitely worthwhile playing if you want to have a little fun and handicap some really shitty horses tonight.
Well, if you want all of Mike's thoughts about all the shitty horses at Hastings and beyond this week, make sure you follow him on Twitter at SumOfBomb18, number one, number AM, at Curtis Kellowart, our corporate overlords at Racing_Dudes. Check out RacingDudes.com. We'll have full previews and picks and analysis for all the NFL, college football, and horse racing action this week and beyond. Like I said, we'll be back Thursday to preview the San Diego Late Pick 4 sequence for this upcoming Saturday, October 2nd. We'll be back at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. Until then, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Screw the NFL refs. Go Lions.
Over.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
Death, taxes, and Magic Mike on Monday.